offer humility to him that he's allowing me to be here. So, Father, I want to read to you from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, the prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise to the Lord. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if any one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back to you, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the errors of their ways will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. I thank you, dear God, and I pray your blessing upon the reading of your holy word.
It's our missionary emeritus right there. Missions is coming up February 4th, right? The first weekend in February. We'll have a potluck and we'll have missions and all that kind of stuff. So maybe we'll throw out the flags. I saw the flags the other day. We'll put the flags up. Make it look kind of colorful in here, right? I like it. So we've been going through a series this whole year. I'm kind of doing a series of a bunch of series. I'm doing a whole bunch of series throughout the course of the year. So this particular series we're going through is the fourfold gospel. Right out of the gate in January, the fourfold gospel of Christ. Christ our Savior, our Sanctifier, and today our Healer. Next week, our coming King. So does anybody in here know the healing touch of Jesus? Yes. Maybe physically healing, emotional healing, financial healing, spiritually healing touch of Jesus? I can testify that God done healed my heart and my mind and my body. Saved every part of me. Transformed every part of my life. James wrote this particular letter to Jewish Christians who had been scattered throughout the Mediterranean because of persecution. They had been tempted to integrate other worldviews and behaviors into their faith and into the church. Well, not much has changed over the years. Those things still happen. And this letter really kind of reminds us about true, genuine faith, that it results in transformed lives. One way to look at the book of James is that it is about the weaknesses in the church, about believers that crumble under trial. It's about the believers that fall into temptation. It's about the believers that fail to obey God's word and his teachings. It's about weaknesses within the church. It's about the believers that are prejudiced in church fellowship toward one another. It's about believers complaining about their life circumstances continuously and constantly and over again. It's about the believers that have a destructive and deceitful tongue. It's about the believers that live fruitless and unproductive lives. It's about weakness in the church. It's about the people that express jealousy or hold selfish ambitions. They get intertwined with worldliness. It's about believers that are always quarreling and always bickering. All that within the church. You know why it's in the church? Because the church is full of it. Full of people. Full of people. There are people inside the church, and there are people outside the church. And all of that that James kind of talks about, writes about in all those chapters, leads to kind of the end. Leads up to these kind of these last few verses. These are our soap passages, and I hope you took time to read the soap passage this week. I'm telling you what I'm going to preach on next week. Read the passage so that you come prepared, bathed in the scripture, prepared for what God might have for you to receive. These soap passages are helping us to overcome the struggles that we all face, that we all encounter as people. Yes, even people in the church. Are there any people here today?
Yes, sir.
We're all people. See, it's about you. Are there any people in church? Yes, there's people in church. Does anyone ever face struggles in the church? Does anybody ever face trials within the church? Emotional, physical, spiritual? Christ is our hope. Christ is our healer. What does that even mean? Christ is our healer. Is salvation our healing? And if I'm healed, why do I still have scars? And if I've forgiven, how come I can't forget? And if I still remember, but I've forgiven, but I haven't forgotten, have I really forgiven? People. Is death the ultimate healing? Is that when your salvation starts? Did you know Jesus maintained his scars even after his resurrection? He even allowed doubting Thomas to poke at him a little bit, didn't he? Come here, Thomas. Put your finger in my side. What about the wounds that don't leave scars? You know, the wounds you can't see, those can even be more hurtful, more painful. See, healing is so much more than the cure of the physical body. Healing is mentioned 150 times in the Bible. Healing is attached to atonement, covering over our sins and our sicknesses and our disease. It's healing. It's a reconciliation between God and man through Jesus Christ. It's faith and prayer. It's confession. It's all intertwined. It's all interwoven together. Repentance, stopping family sin patterns that go on for generations, overcoming fears, breaking addictions, mingled together, often to arrive at a peaceful place and healing for your own soul, way beyond your own physical body. See, it would be very easy to just preach countless messages on a few short verses. Why? Because it's the movement of God. What we're witnessing and what we see is the movement of God. You see somebody who needs healing right there, right? Little Miss Melinda. In the simplest of terms, it's all wrapped up and presented to you as a prescription. A prescription. That's kind of all the weaknesses in the church, all the diseases in the church, all the problems in the church, all the stuff that's going on in the church. There's this passage in James writes, it's kind of a prescription for you to cure what ails you, to offer hope, eternal hope even. But first things first, is anyone among you in trouble? Well, they should pray. Is anyone among you happy? Well, then they should sing praises to God. Is anyone among you sick? Well, let them call upon the elders of the church and pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. There's lots of praying and lots of praising going on. So first things first, it's God-focused. There's your first one. It's God-focused. Healing can be a dramatic sign of the miraculous. I have personally witnessed tremendous physical healings. I've watched God eliminate cancer wrapped around a spinal cord that a surgeon would never touch. God healed. I've watched sight restored to the blind. I've watched countless kidney functions restored and liver functions restored and collapsed lungs inflated. There are countless stories right in this sanctuary. I still have PTSD from Les Wilson when I visited him in the hospital and he's got a needle sticking out the top of his head to alleviate the swelling and the pressure going on inside his skull. Jan Timmis's face so smashed in, she's irrecognizable. Countless victories in cancer. Anybody in here ever overcome cancer? We got some hands? Look at all the hands. Look at all the hands. Sometimes more than once. Praise be to God. That's what's walking around in the sanctuary. This is stuff people deal with, whether they're in the church or outside the church. People. God heals. God restores. God loves his creation. Listen, though. Let's go a little bit deeper. Even though we are miraculously healed physically, it's only temporary. It's just about the flesh at that point. Thank you, Lord, for healing me of cancer. Thank you, Lord, for helping me get over COVID. Thank you, Lord, for helping me with my sinus infection. And thank you for that mysterious rash that appeared. Thank you for healing me of that as well. I praise you all day long. But it's temporary. It's temporary. Lazarus was resuscitated back to life, and he died again. He was not resurrected. Jesus was the first to do that, so that even in that, he might be held supreme. We often hold a worldview of healing, of health, and it's very temporary. Ultimately, we must deal with the eternal, not just the temporary. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I'm sorry, what was that again? What was that part of Romans? What was that? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Well, it seems like it's always against the flesh and blood. It seems like that's always our focus. That's always the priority. That's always the point of prayer. Flesh and blood, flesh and blood, flesh and blood. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Well, what is it against then, Pastor? Well, it's against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, our God focus will keep us keenly aware that there are spiritual forces wanting to take you out, take you down, make you sick, drive you crazy, confuse you, irritate you, annoy you, frustrate you, upset you, aggravate you, and all this time you thought it was your wife and kids. It's just a joke, folks. They don't get any better. Healing is available today. Available for you today. God proves it and he's provided for it. We must be God-focused in order to receive it, even if it is for the endurance of this world. Why do you want to be healed? So you could stay here in this corrupt world? Even if it is temporary for this corrupt world. So do we believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Well, we believe then that Jesus healed then, that he heals, and he'll heal then. We believe he is alive. We believe he cares for us. We believe that he desires what's best for you. I've seen Jesus do all kinds of miraculous healing, sometimes immediately, and dumbfound the doctors. I've seen Jesus work through progression, through medication, through the use of doctors to bring about healing in people's lives. I've seen Jesus bring about ultimate healing in death. If you've ever seen a tormented body or a tormented mind, death is often a welcome relief. Maybe he wasn't cured, but but he was healed. Healing doesn't always look like we want it to. It just doesn't look like always like we want it to. But we know that it'll look exactly the way God wants it to, because he has an eternal view of things. We were talking very briefly about this in Sunday school. An awareness of unanswered prayers. Anybody got any unanswered prayers? Thank God he didn't answer that prayer. And actually, he probably did. So, is there any such thing as an unanswered prayer? You just didn't get the answer you wanted in the way you wanted it, in the timely fashion that you wanted. See, let me give you a little taste of this as best that I can. I experienced a little of this when my father was on his deathbed. Grasping for his last breaths, we had disconnected the ventilator and taken off any kind of machines because that's what he wanted. And there it is, what he wanted. He had made his desires known. He didn't want a machine to breathe for him or pump his heart. He had those DNR orders, right? Do not resuscitate orders. He had health directives for the physical body. Many people in here probably have those. If you don't, you should. Watch, I was selfishly fighting against my father again. Like I was a teenager. All about what I wanted all over again. All about what I knew what would be best all over again. I know what I needed. I needed my dad to stay with me. I know what I wanted for him to stay alive and be alive with me. I wanted him to remain with me. I wanted him to wake up. And this was all about me. And it was all about myself. It was all about me, myself, and I, wasn't it? This was all what I wanted, not what he wanted. Blind to your own selfishness. I was blind to my own pride, my own desires. And I had to yield. Ultimately, you have to yield to what my father wanted, his words, his desires, his wishes. I had to trust my earthly father knew what he wanted. I had to rest on my earthly father's word in spite of what I wanted. And by the way, Dad, if you can hear or if you're watching, I did make the linguine with clam sauce this week. I was thinking a lot about you this week, Dad. See, that event had a profound kind of an impact in my life. I think it showed that I can trust in something or someone over my own emotions. How do you do that? Just like that. Over my own feelings. Over my own desires. I hated it. I learned to trust the Lord, my heavenly Father. I had to learn to trust his ways. I had to learn to trust his words. I had to trust his desires, that he knows what he wants. And I don't always like it. See, God has an eternal view of things. To believe in something not just temporary, but something eternal. Today, Christ is our healer, and we seek healing in our lives on many fronts. Many fronts. We seek to break the chains that bind our own pride, our own selfishness, our own arrogance, our own greed, our own hatred, our own dissension, our own anger, our own malice, our own discord, the things that we want to cling on to and hold on to, and they're mine. God says, let it go. Today is a day of great miracles and great hope. Every day is a day of great miracles and great hope. And in this place today, we can seek restoration. We can seek forgiveness in our attitudes and our sins. We can seek the living God who heals all of our life and continues to do so yesterday, today, and forevermore. And not only our broken bones, but our broken hearts. God brings healing to all your life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all your diseases. God is bigger than your diagnosis. He's bigger than your cancer. He's bigger than your addictions. God is bigger than your depression and your back pain. God is bigger than your bad knees and your migraines. God is bigger than your doubt and your disappointments and your failures. God is bigger than your bad attitude and your self-centeredness. The body is only temporary. The flesh, this ailment, this pain, this life, a moment, a blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. He's the one who brings relief. He's the one who provides the cure. He's the one who brings the miracle. He's the one who brings the healing. Is anyone troubled? What are we supposed to do? Pray. Pray. That's God-focused. That's what you're supposed to do. Trouble comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Financial distress, emotional instability, legal troubles, neighborhood problems, family drama, work pressures. I need healing in all of my temporary life. Anybody else? Is anyone in trouble? Pray. So spiritual. So spiritually, taking it right to a spiritual dimension. And is it a sin to not pray? Is it a sin to not pray for yourself, to not pray for your family, to not pray for your church, to not pray for your leaders, to not pray for the lost? How about we know the good we ought to do, but we don't do it? James would say, that's a sin. That's just the first line. Is anyone happy? What are they supposed to do? Sing songs of praise. They come skipping into church, right? See, it's not just about your troubles. You look to the Lord. It's also about your gladness and your happiness and your achievement and all the things that you're doing for God's honor and glory. You look to the Lord. It's God-focused. Praise is a focus on God in the good times and in the bad times. So there's your next slide. Watch. Suffering is difficult. Sufficiency is easy. In trouble or happy, God-focused. God-focused. In either place, you seek the Lord and you stay focused upon God. Watch. Many people lose, I'll say it this way. Oftentimes a church loses a lot of believers because they question suffering. Why God? Why God? Why God? If he's a righteous and good, and why? And why? And God? And they struggle, and suffering is difficult. We lose a lot of believers, ready, to the ease of sufficiency. Why? We don't need God. Everybody's okay. We're pretty safe. Warm, dry. We live in a land of relative freedom. Not much fear. We're a very pleasure-based society. We're not a survival-based society. Got enough money, got enough food, got enough entertainment. We pretty much got it made. The ease of sufficiency. What do I need God for? I'll cry to God when I'm, suffering and in trouble. Focus on God, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Oftentimes, we lose people in the sufficiency because the biggest question they have for the day is, what do I want to eat? Where do I want to eat? What do I want to watch on TV? There's not much to do. Surf internet, play games, gossip about celebrities, watch sports, Facebook debates. Oftentimes, we want to talk about the latest candy cane incident that a mother, mad mother, had at a school. We're so blessed and we're so prosperous, that's what we focus on. That's the big story. Gossip of a celebrity. That's the big story. Candy cane. Given out in love to people. Big story. Who's going to win the playoffs and who's going to be in the Super Bowl? It's easy in our sufficiency to just take our focus off God. Just as quick. Just as quick in the suffering people walk, just as much as they do in the ease they'll walk. Even when it's good times, praise the Lord. Because all around us are weapons of mass destruction. All the time. Everywhere. America doesn't know what to do with all of its prosperity. We're lazy. And watch, your praise and your focus on God encourages others. Just by you being you and focusing on God in the good times and in the bad times serves as a witness and a testimony to others. Your praise is an expression of your faith, just like prayer would be. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call upon the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. The elders don't raise them up. The Lord raises them up. I didn't heal anybody. God heals people. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. I can forgive people, but God forgives people. Here's your second one. God's people. See, the first point there is kind of like, it's about you. You pray. You in trouble? Pray. You happy? Praise God. Sing some songs. It's about you, the things that you should do. This one, a little bit more about calling for some help. It's a little bit more about, you know, bringing the team together, calling your teammates, looking to your family. It's about corporate worship. It's about the church. It's about elders in the church. It's about the spiritual overseers of the body, the making sure that we're all maintaining good and healthy relationships. Let me brag about our leaders if I can. They're godly, upright, wise, providers of good counsel, men of conscious and rational thought, spirit-filled believers working to build and advance the kingdom of God. They are focused and they are committed, and I'm honored to call them elders. I have walked with them for many, many, many years and enjoy their company and their counsel. You can too. Titus describes an elder as an overseer who manages God's household. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, and not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those that oppose it. Got to know your word. Got to know what God's doing. Got to know how God is at work within your church. But the reality is that sounds like it should be for any person. That's a pretty good desire for any person. Not just someone who wants to manage God's household, but how about manage your own household? Our elders are prayer warriors. They're community servant leaders, and they serve the Lord by serving you and this church. And they're up here at the end of every service to pray for anyone that wants to come forward. Today's a great day for that, to be anointed by the elders in the name of the Lord. Make a sick person well. And if you've sinned, forgiven. God's in the house today. His presence is strong in here today. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call upon the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now watch. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you might be healed. I'm wondering what happens if you don't do that. No healing for you? Am I inferring the scriptures inaccurately? Confess your sins to each other so that you might be healed. And then you're not going to do that. So you ever heard that confession is good for the soul? I've heard that before, right? Confession is good for the soul. Do you confess your sins? I'm sorry I stepped on your toes. I'm sorry I probably said something I shouldn't have said. I'm sorry I was irate. I'm sorry I was angry. I'm sorry I was short with you. I'm sorry. That's just me yesterday with Melinda. So keep short accounts. Just messing with you, baby. Let go of an offense quickly. So there's these three priests, and they're confessing their sins to each other. And one confesses, I've been struggling with pornography and lust for years now, and I've been having an affair for months. Thank you for sharing. The other priest says, oh man, I've been struggling with greed and envy and jealousy, and I've been stealing from the church now for a couple years. And the third one says, well, my sin is gossip, and I can't wait to talk to my friends. Have you heard that before? Maybe it just goes within the pastoral realms or something. And if you're not going to do it, not going to be healing for you. People confess to me a lot sometimes. They'll confess their own scenarios and their own sins, which is fine. But sometimes they confess things because they think they've offended me. And I have no idea what they're talking about. But think about that. Something in their character suggested and moved within them that even if there was a possibility that existed that somehow I've offended you, Pastor, I would like to make sure that we're okay. I was never offended. I never had an offense. How loving is that? How loving is that? Now, listen. If you think, anybody in here, if you think I'm holding something against you, I am not. You're all forgiven. I have nothing toward anyone here at all. I have nothing but a loving desire to point you to the cross and get you in front of Jesus, who can bring you all the healing that you need. How much do we care for each other? How much do we forgive? And overcomes and covers over a multitude of sins, some of which may be your own. We know what that's like to say, you know, you're forgiving someone that brings healing to your own soul. You forgiving someone brings healing to your soul. It's not about them cutting off the hook and I'll never forgive them. Wow, what's going on in you? You need healing. What a great prescription. Do you harbor all these past pains and resentments? Let it go. Do you avoid other people? This is like in the church. Do you avoid other people, like walking around eggshells? You know, walk to the other side of the sanctuary so you don't have to talk to them. Do you gossip about other people? You make yourself look good by making them look bad. Man, that's spiritual politicking. Do you know that many of you eat and drink without discerning the body? And you bring judgment upon yourself. That is why many among you are sick and weak. The healing that you're looking for is often held within your own power. He's already given you everything you need to bring healing to yourself. Watch. Here's your next slide. And many times, folks, it's not that you need healing. You need to stop making yourself sick. Take the advice of your theocentric doctor. Stop making yourself sick and tired. You have the power to forgive. You have the power to heal. God has empowered you with the Holy Spirit of God so that you know how to let it go. That you can look at the desires of your Heavenly Father and follow Him. Sometimes you may not like it, but it brings you peace. It brings you healing to the body and the mind and the soul. And this is really what the passage is saying. Watch over each other. Please care for each other. Love each other. Because if you're not careful, you will devour each other. If you're not careful, you will hurt each other over and over and over and over again. And you walk around the church wondering why it's so unhealthy. You're unhealthy! Have you ever been so, many people know this, you're emotionally distraught. You're so distraught in your emotions that it causes you physical pain. Nausea and vomiting and stress and blood pressure through the roof. This is all going on up here. Causing all this manifestation of physical ailments. So spiritually, we can be sick that it will cause you physical and emotional pain. And so listen, we can easily see how the trouble can start in the mind and it affects the body. We can see how we can get so spiritually stressed out and anxious over circumstances and situations and lostness of people that it causes us to be nauseous and we vomit. We miss that all that interaction and all that is interwoven, not just in pain, but in healing. It's integrated into your healing. It's integrated spirituality, integrated medicine. It's faith-based healing. Get yourself right spiritually and watch the stress melt off your mind and body. Get yourself right spiritually. Watch the despair go away. Get yourself right spiritually. Watch anger just go. Watch worry go. Watch all the unhappiness dissipate from your body. Get yourself right spiritually. Watch the migraines go away. Watch the anxiousness go away and melt away. Get right spiritually. And watch as the joyfulness in your own body expands. Get right spiritually and watch as a good attitude starts to return day after day after day after day. Do you recognize some people are trying to manage that and they have one good day, but they have six bad ones. But they manage it. They try. And then the next week they have two good days and they had five bad ones. I've watched God bring about progressive healing and progressive sanctification in people's lives. Stop making yourself sick. Bring healing to yourself. Bring healing to your mind. Bring healing to your body. And watch as your days get better, as your days get more positive. And watch, you bring healing into the body. Here's your next slide. You have a responsibility to the health of the body. You have a responsibility to the healing of your own body. You have a responsibility to the healing of the body of Christ. We've been many times, many years, living very unhealthy in the church. It's full of people. But God gives you a prescription. Here's how you have health. Here's how you bring reconciliation, redemption. This is how you bring joyfulness into the house of the Lord. Is somebody in trouble? Pray. Is somebody rejoicing? Everybody is welcome in the body. But we must each make sure that we're doing our part as we walk, as God asked us to walk with fellow believers. He's asked us to walk with fellow believers. He's not asked us to go be isolated and alone somewhere. He's asked all of us to, hey, why don't you guys form a fellowship? Form a body of believers. Watch over each other. Pray for each other. Call upon the elders. If you're sick, they'll anoint you with oil. Hey, are you in trouble? Pray. Hey, are you happy today? Sing some songs and praise. God-focused. And he's asking all of us to assume a responsibility, are you ready, for each other. And if we can't do it in the church, how are we ever going to assume a responsibility for a dark, lonely, lost world? You would look at an elder and say, if you can't control your own household, how do you think you're going to be able to control the house of God? If you can't manage to bring health to, I don't know that you can manage to bring health to the body. You have a responsibility to the health of your body and to this fellowship and the body of believers. My brothers and sisters, and if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is your last one. It's God's will. God's will. It's God's will. Church is God's will. The fellowship of believers is what God desires for all of us. And then he tells us how to do it, how to get along, how to love, how to care, how to pray for one another. It's all about coming back home. It's all about coming back to God. It's all about getting your restoration and your relationship right with him. It's about saved souls. It's about putting an end to your wandering. It's about putting an end to all the fighting and the drama and all the problems and all the... It's about redemption. It's about restoration. It's about revitalization. It's about building a healthy fellowship and a healthy body of believers. God's will is to be with his children. I know some of God's will. I don't know all of it. I know some things about eternal life. I don't know all things eternal. I know some spiritual things. I don't know all spiritual things. But what I do know about God and spirituality causes me transformation. It causes me to change. It's not what I don't know that doesn't bother me, that bothers me. It's what I do know that requires me to move in a direction even when I don't want to. I want my dad to be alive. I want him to be with me. It's not what about what I want. Heavenly Father, I know what you should do. I know how to be. I know what I want. It's not about what you want. It's not about justifying your own anger and your own dissension and your own discord. It's about letting go of yourself and dying to self and following what God would want for you, to bring you peace, to bring you healing, to bring the body of Christ healing, that it might be effective and productive. I know I have limitations that rest in matter, space, and time, but I'm familiar with a God who created matter, space, and time. God is sovereign. It's unlimited. He's boundless. He's unrestricted. He's supreme and infinite. And I'm confident that he cares for each and every one of us. If we will keep our focus on God, we will pray. If we'll keep our focus on God, we will praise him. If we live right among God's people, we will be healed. And we bring healing. If you accept God's will and turn from sin and help others turn from it, you are saved from eternal death. I invite you today, pray, praise, call upon the elders, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, work among us in this place. In this moment, that you would receive honor and glory. In Jesus' name.
Now I'm on. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. So after the service, there will be elders to pray for you if needed. And if you miss any elders or any time, you always can grab an elder. They'll willingly pray for you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our healer, that you are our physical healer, our emotional healer, our mental healer, and our spiritual healer. And help us, God, to do the part that we need to be doing to be healed, Lord. And now, Father, I just thank you for blessing this church financially, and I ask that you help all the leaders here just to be good stewards of the money that your people have offered to you, Lord. And Father, we just ask that too, that those who cheerfully give, may they reap what they sow. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know what? No more excuses. I will willingly choose God's fame above my own. I will stop acting as if I'm the center of the world. I will look at my apathy straight in the face and demand that it leave. No more excuses. I will both admit my addictions and cry out to the healer. I will refuse to allow the enemy to continue stealing my joy. I will stop worrying about what everyone around me is thinking. No more excuses. I will turn my heart back again. I will listen hard to the whispers of His Spirit, and I will proclaim the wonders of His never-ending love. No more excuses. No games, no pretending, no hiding, no dead religion. No more excuses. Period.
All right, would you stand with me, church? Thank you so much. We should know this one. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, to heal the world through Him. Go, serve your God, serve Him well. God bless you.